You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Football season is here, and that means it's time for wings, beer, and countless TVs full of gridiron action at B-Dubs. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, sport, football.
Football, baby.
Football, football, football. How about the Royals, by the way? 2-0 in the World Series for
Couldn't
those who pay attention.
Couldn't care less.
I haven't watched 1 second.
I haven't watched one pitch of the World Series. I haven't even accidentally flipped through that channel. Because what is it, on TBS?
No, the World Series got to be on Fox.
Is it? No. I wouldn't even know. Thank you. But wouldn't know, wouldn't
Joe
care.
Buck?
Joe who?
Come on.
The comedian?
Joe Mama. Anyway.
Uncle Buck?
216-578-0850. That's the way to get on board. You want to call us up here today. By the way, the NFL, according to Ian Rappaport, is not expected to discipline Johnny Manziel. He met with an NFL investigator yesterday in regard to the incident that involved Manziel and his girlfriend on October the 12th. And again, Ian Rappaport saying the quarterback is not expected to be disciplined for his role in a roadside incident. So that comes from an NFL Network reporter. From the NFL, basically. So Johnny Manziel, I think, again, that incident, which was a firestorm for a few days, seems to be much ado about nothing, at least in the eyes of the National Football League, which would be the body that would be responsible for disciplining Johnny Manziel following an incident such as that. So I think we can kind of put that to bed. As for Josh McCown, the team is hopeful that he'll be able to get out there and take part in some team drills today. We will find out. Johnny Manziel took all the first team reps yesterday, but now it looks like he will be able to go ahead and get out there hopefully today, which would be a good sign for his availability on Sunday.
It'd be a great sign. And I think in most cases, as I always mention, Wednesdays predominantly first and second down. Today is predominantly third down. So him throwing the football in those situations and you go through the certain downs and distances and the type of concepts that they play and his understanding and the route concepts and the beaters that we will play to get guys open. And hopefully Josh McCown is mentally out there ready to do that, because I think as we see both in college and professional, when guys miss a significant portion of the week, it carries over into their football performance on Sunday.
Of course it does. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 216-578-0850. Scott in Cleveland. Welcome to the show. What's up, Scott?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good, bro. Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I just had, a quick question. So, we understand that McCown is a little still banged up and he's questionable. So, my question is, if Johnny goes in this Sunday, and I'm going to the game, so that's why I'm really excited. So, if he goes in on Sunday, is it going to be a temporary thing? Or are we finally going to see, is he our franchise quarterback or not?
I don't know that you could make that determination in one game, but I do think if a scenario, again, I think it is unlikely. I don't think it is, I think it is unlikely that Johnny Manziel starts this Sunday. But if he were to start this Sunday and he were to play like he did against the Titans and the Browns were to go on and beat the Cardinals, I don't think Johnny Manziel would leave the field at that point.
I agree with you, because I think as you look, and I think the record determines a lot of what we're saying, but this Arizona Cardinals football team and the Tennessee Titans football team are at drastic, different ends of many power rankings, with Arizona being in the top six or seven, and Tennessee predominantly being the lower quartile, as we always say, probably even, 30th or worse. So Johnny Manziel's ability to go out there and win against this team, he proves to me that he can play at a high level, and he deserves to me that he needs to start week after week.
Right, and at that point, it would be something – going back to, it would be something where it wouldn't be like we're playing for the future anymore.
No.
He's 1-0 already this year.
Right.
Which changes the story to me. If he goes 2-0, that would be huge, obviously.
Beating a 5-2 football team is a huge story, first and foremost, for the Cleveland Browns at 2-5.
Yes.
But led by Johnny Manziel, it proves to you as a franchise, as a teammate in that locker room and a fan base that's kind of wishy-washy on Johnny Manziel, that this guy can play in the National Football League and at a high level when given the opportunity.
Yes. Let's go to Sonny in South Carolina now. Sonny, welcome to the show.
What's going on, fellas? The guy before me stole my mojo a little bit, but I
it's
just
right.
want to
Still
say
bring it.
That against Tennessee, I understand it was Tennessee, but you could see a little bit of Johnny Swag coming back.
Sure.
He wasn't doing those kind of plays that were designed to be helter-skelter. When he threw those touchdowns, those was on account of what the defense posed at him, and he
sure.
had to make those scrambles. And they kind of knocked his little confidence down by putting McGowan in there. Now, anybody could see, we all knew watching the game Sunday that McGowan knocked his own self out when he ran into them bleachers.
Well, that's not when he got hurt, and he was pushed. No, that was not when he got hurt. He got hurt after he got popped once by Mark Barron, and then he got his shoulder got hurt, actually, on the last one where he was trying to throw, and it got hit from behind. And you know the torque on your arm when you're throwing it as hard as you can forward and your arm gets hit backwards, that can get you in the shoulder, and that's where he actually got hurt. So, running in, and I've talked to Josh about it, because I was literally right there when he crashed in the wall. That didn't feel pleasant.
Why didn't you
pick
him up?
You're so
quick to give a high five, but you wouldn't reach out to give him to help him up.
Could you imagine if I actually helped Josh? Could you imagine people are unhappy that I said great catch to Travis Benjamin? Could you imagine if I picked Josh McCown up?
It would be
uproar. I did think about catching him, and I talked to him actually in the cafe, and I said, you know, I thought for a second about catching you when you were coming off, just trying to like slow you down, and I said, but then I figured you'd probably just run me over, and it'd be on SportsCenter forever, and I'd look like a goof. And he was like, you know what? He's like, next time, go ahead, man. He's like, I won't run you over. He's like,
well, and now you look like a goof for giving Travis Benjamin a high five.
I didn't even give him a high five.
So it's a lose-lose for you.
No, anyway. I didn't give him a high five. No, I'm going to stand there. It's like that. There was a Chappelle Show skit where he was talking about somebody who was unable to express themselves in traditional manners, expressing great happiness or satisfaction in a particular moment. Just a little thumbs up. That's all I'm going to do.
It's good.
Thumbs up.
Great catch, bro.
Great catch, bro.
Under your
breath.
Cool
story, bro. Cool story. All right, 216-578-0850. Let's go to Joe in Medina. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
No, you guys have been talking about Tyrann Mathieu and how much of an impact he makes and everything on the game. And
yeah.
I just thought it's funny that in
Leon McFadden.
It's
brutal.
It's like,
not in the NFL.
Yeah.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Like, the chance we could have had to take him, we take Leon McFadden.
Like, that was at least that's one thing that you can't pin on Ray Farmer. So for all the people who are unhappy with what Ray Farmer's done, that was not Ray Farmer. That was the era before Ray Farmer. That was Joe Banner, Mike Lombardi, the year before Ray Farmer was the general manager in that draft that yielded Barkevious Mingo. You got Leon McFadden in the third. Josh Gordon was your second because of the supplemental draft, so you didn't have a second. And the guys that are left, I think maybe you drafted an offensive lineman in there, and then at the end of the draft, Armani Bryant.
Yes.
And so you've got Armani Bryant left and Barkevious Mingo. Your first and your seventh, and that's it. That one was a bad one. Now, granted, multiple teams in the National Football League, in fact, not multiple, every team in the National Football League passed on the Honey Badger twice.
Right.
And a good portion of them passed on him three times.
Yes.
It was a great pick by Arizona.
What ref?
Talent,
late third?
Mid to late third. Talent wasn't the issue.
So we technically passed on him twice, not three times.
Correct. But okay. we clearly would have passed on him three times.
Correct. Oh, that is for sure.
That's a fact.
Yes.
And it was, if you remember, he had the off-field issues. But, you know, as you played in the league, this isn't a league of saints. And at the end of the day, talent prevails, and this is he's a great story, by the way. If you don't know the story of the Honey Badger, tons of articles, I'm sure, have been written about it, at least that I've read within the last month. Garrett Gilkey was the lineman, as Weimer pointed out. He's now at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have a guy here who's really turned himself around, and you have a guy who has become one of the best players in the National Football League. He's already dealt with a catastrophic injury in the NFL. Come back from that. He can do so much for you. He really is part of that modern NFL where your safety can be your slot corner as well. And there's nothing that he can't do. He's a great blitzer. He's great against the run. And that's when you look back for a team that is saying, man, oh, man, we need playmakers. We need guys who step up. We need building blocks. That was an opportunity to get a building block for your defense in the third round of the National Football League draft. And instead, it was Leon McFadden.
Right. And you know what's so funny to me in this entire scenario, and it's not just relevant to the Cleveland Browns, but this is in general. So much goes in the evaluation process, how guys are, you know, graded and aligned on their draft boards and so on and so forth, and how one organization can feel one way and another organization feels completely different about a guy. When this guy, I'm not talking just Tyrann Mathieu or the Honey Badger, whatever you want to call him. When guys have had trouble at some point in their life, whether it be, you know, violence or gangs or drugs or domestic or whatever, when those individuals come into your locker room, and I made this point many times before, you as a professional dealing with your own life and your own career, you don't really, unless you're like a super, super highlight, like a quarterback, you know, that's supposed to go number one overall and you drop. When you end up in our lap and walk into our locker room, we accept you as a football player. And you are first and foremost accepted whether you can add value and help us win football games or whether you can like tell very quickly that someone's not going to be in the league very long. But for a guy like him, he proves that he can play. He gives you get immediate impact. And then you start to find out what he's overcome, and it helps you appreciate him that much more for the person that he is. But first and foremost, in a locker room, you got to prove that you can play. I hate to say it, but it's like drugs or not, single family, gangs, domestic. If you can play, you'll be accepted by a locker room. You might be looked at a little bit crooked, but if you can play and help us win, we will accept you 100 times out of 100.
Absolutely. You're seeing that all over the National Football League. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Josh Weinfuss, the ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Cardinals, will be with us at 1:30 to talk about that Cardinals team, and we'll do that right after this.